folks, to the Grace Hour. This is a Christian program that dives into our daily challenges and helps us learn faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Pete Wastera. I'm the youth director here at Greater Grace, and I'm here with Pastor Gary Greenwald. What is your job here?
to be a friend to Seb.
There you go. There you go. Our engineer. Engineer. That makes two of us.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the role of the father, and we have some great questions and great things to talk about. But before we do, we just want to say something to single mothers or households that are missing the father, absentee fathers, that don't turn off. This is also for you. It's important for you to understand the role of the father. And I was raised by a single Christian mom in the church. And I think one of the reasons why she did such a good job is because she understood the roles and she understood the need for me to be in the body and to be around godly men. And she just had a very clear vision of what I needed as a child. So we don't want anyone, turning off because there's no father. Actually, I would be more inclined to listen if I were you, if there is no father in the picture. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The other thing I really wanted to say, because we've been talking about kids all week and raising and parenting, raising kids and parenting. And one of the things that I am always interested to talk about is the fact that, the primary reason why an adult is the way he is the free will that individual has. We know many great parents whose kids are not following God. And, Freud believed that an adult's outcome, however he is or wherever she is directly a result of how a parent raised that child. And we really know that the parent has a lot of influence. We believe that. We know that that's biblical also. But we stop short of holding parents accountable. There's only so much you can do as a parent. At the end of the day, an evil heart might reign. Choices might be made. And I always want to say that because, I think as parents, we're so easily condemned, and judged maybe even. We could use the word that parents are judged. If a kid misbehaves, he brings shame on the parent. We know that's biblical, but there is a limit to that. There is just a limit to that. We don't believe in Freudisms. You can be an incredible parent or do an incredible job. At the end of the day, the child has to make his own decisions. So we don't want anyone to be condemned. We just want everyone to do the best they can and learn and be very actively pursuing godly parenting, but not necessarily live in condemnation. That would not be God's will. And at the end, we know that parents can only influence. Actually, the number one influence is a parent, right? The youth ministry is not the number one influence. The church is not the number one influence, but the parent bringing them to God, and then God, of course, reaches them. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great subject to talk about today. One of the greatest desires of Satan is actually to condemn, to accuse, and this is. I mean, me personally, I can just remember all of the accusations of being a parent. A parent has a child and he hasn't thought about parenting. You know what I mean? That was me. And so I learned parenting. I'm learning parenting, and I'll never stop learning parenting. It's a beautiful process to learn about God. It's a great place to come under submission to God, to be taught by God. So parenting is a lifelong process. So don't turn us off today. No. We're gonna talk about that, yeah. Right?
Yep, and I love to say this. God is a perfect parent. He was and is a perfect parent, but his first two kids, rebelled in a sense and disobeyed, right? So I just think that that's important to balance. We don't believe in this kind of modern psychology of parenting where everyone else is to blame besides the kid, right?
Okay.
So maybe the first good question of the day is, you know, is there such a thing as roles? Do we have individual roles as a mom or a dad? What do you think?
Okay. Yes. Let's just start there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we have individual roles? Well, as you're saying there, you know, God was the perfect parent. Mm-hmm. Let's look at God first, maybe. God the Father, okay, mm-hmm. In the Trinity. God the Father gave his greatest gift. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying, like moms and dads, or if you're a single mom or a single parent, let's think about the role of headship, of leading. Because a child needs boundaries, okay? So what did the father do? He gave his best, okay? After a child fell. And this is a privilege then. He gave his best. So this is a sign to the child that he is loved, that he's secure, that he's going to be nurtured in grace. So when Adam and Eve fell, what did the father do? He ran to them. Mm-hmm. He wanted to show them grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't fail as a parent. I have something to actually give them.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, what a parent should always, there's always another card to play mm-hmm. when you're gracious, when you're loving. Right. You know, it's not that I've failed as a parent mm-hmm. and then I stop. But now, God, where's the provision for me to give grace? What is your judgment in this situation, God? So, and we want to discover. That's what makes it fun with God. As a parent, we get to discover God's mind for my child.
Yeah, okay? That's beautiful. I love that. The picture. I always love imagining God walking around in the Garden of Eden. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? I want to hold your hand. I want to be with you. You know, that's a father's heart. It never stops. We know. Our kids are a little bit older. And it never stops. You never stop being a father. You never stop giving them advice. You never stop worrying when they say something wrong or something that doesn't sound so good or make a bad decision. On the other hand, if they do, then yeah, we're still not done. We have that that love, that father's, that godly love and the godly grace that we can give our kids. That's beautiful. Why would we focus on dads? I thought maybe that you know, this could be a little controversial, right? Wait a minute, you're saying that, you know, the world is desperately trying to say there are no roles and it doesn't really matter and you don't even need a dad and actually, you know, moms are better or whatever. I don't know everything they're saying, but we know that they're not really being defined. But biblically, they are definitely defined. And like what you said, there is no hierarchy. Not one is not better than the other. There is no hierarchy in the Bible anywhere. We just have roles to play. And those roles are very specific and very healthy. And boundaries is a good word, which is what you use. But why would we focus on the dads? And I would say, and I read this. I read a book by Ken Hahn about raising godly children. And he brings this out really, really well. He just says, ask any Christian parent who is responsible for teaching the Bible or teaching prayer or praise with their kids. And most likely what you are going to hear is the mom is doing it. And I that was a little painful to hear because I think it's actually very true. And I'm not saying moms shouldn't be doing it. Of course, I wouldn't say that. But where is the dad? According to Scripture, should the dad be playing the primary role? And I think the answer is yes, but they're missing. They're missing in action. They've abdicated from their role or walked away for whatever reason. Who knows? There's probably a long list of reasons, but there's a role reversal, and there's not proper leadership maybe happening, and the fathers are opting out. They're opting out of their job, which is to teach their kids about God, about the love of God, the grace of God, the truth, wisdom, all these kind of things. So, and dads have been under attack, I think. I think it's been many, many years where we've seen the role of the dad, and males in general, you know, are under attack. So, you know, I thought it would be good to really clarify that. We are here to define what a man's job is in the house and with their kids.
Yeah, okay. So Yeah, that's a man is strong. Mm. A man is physically strong. Okay, and First Peter 3:7, where the man is to be a covering for his wife, mm. who is the weaker vessel. Mm. And this is to be an order in the family, because, and it's like God answers, it says there that God answers their prayers. So this is an aspect where a man is like maybe the enforcer of the rules. He gives the rules and he also enforces them. And how is he going to enforce them? Just one thing that we were saying when you were saying that, Pastor Pete, I was thinking of guilt. Mm. Why does man opt out? Mm. Guilt leads to frustration. And like I said in the beginning, Satan is—he's an accuser. And when a father feels guilty, mm. And he accuses them, a father gets frustrated, mm. and he loses his love, and he just wants to abandon something that he's supposed to love, and he doesn't know how to love it. Mm. And this is—I'm sure in many fathers' life, and I'll give a personal—you know—I'm the first one to say it, even in my own life. You know, I saw my wife's love, and in one sense, you know, I abandoned. It was easy for me to, well, my wife's going to love them. I'm frustrated, and I don't know how to love them, because maybe I felt guilty, or maybe I was comparing, or maybe I was hurting in my relationship with my kids, and I abandoned it. Mm. And I think that can happen a lot with fathers.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the mother's heart. And here's the other thing that you were just saying, just about mothers. Like, if you're a single mother, what are you looking for? You're looking for the father's heart. How can I give the father's heart to my son, to my daughter? I want them to know the Father's heart. Where can I do that? I can give that to them. Mm. Okay, I can be the enforcer. I can lay down the rules. And I know that's challenging. I can go to church. I can give them that opportunity to see another man. And just because there isn't a man in that role in a husband and wife, it doesn't mean that your children will not get that influence of a man. And this is why we have the body of Christ. And, you know, it's, you know, God will be a father to the fatherless. We really do have that opportunity for a person. If you don't have a father, God will correct you. God will guide you. God will be a covering over you. God will show you his authority. Mm. He will give you something to submit to. You will have a sense of security. You know, you will have boundaries in your life. God will be a father to the fatherless.
That's beautiful. I mean, everything that, you know, the order that God has, the grace that God has, the parenting skills that God has, the wisdom that he has, all available to us. That order comes our way, that love comes our way, the grace comes our way, and we are meant to duplicate it in our households, in our families. So that is beautiful. And I think, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think guilt is probably a big reason. I think, you know, parents would just want to drop their kids off at the Sunday school or at the youth ministry on Saturday night or at a Christian school and say, okay, well, I paid for Christian school, or I dropped them off at the Bible study. I did my job. You know, it takes effort. It takes effort to raise your kids as Christians, and it takes confrontation. It takes, you know, you have to be really purposeful in doing this. So, you know, there could be 100 reasons why maybe dads are not doing their job. I don't know. I know that I had to learn. I mean, I had to do a 180. I was doing everything wrong and really had to change the way we operated in our household. Someone made it clear to me, you know, I had a job to do. So that might be another, just pure ignorance, you know, just living your life and providing for them, and that's all you need to do. And there's other things. I mean, you know, I think that's many men, and I can identify with this because I spent many years of my life, I was not really following God. So if I'm not spiritual, then I have no interest in teaching my kids about spiritual things. And you know, unfortunately, your kids can never become what you are not. You know, you can't raise them in a certain way, hoping that they'll be this way when you're not that way. So, you know, I could just see very easily Satan's grand plan is to take the dad out of the picture, that he just becomes a sentimental guy who's there and buys a car and provides and even loves, but is not doing the other side of things, the raising and the scriptural need, you know, or the scriptural, the Bible clearly tells us, you know, that the dad has a role.
I ask you this? Yeah. Okay. You know, like he has a role, right? Mm-hmm. And you said it takes effort. Okay. Mm-hmm. It takes work. Speak about that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of how do you get the mind of God towards parenting? You know, you say effort and work but really you're saying, how do I get the mind of God for this? How do I get this spiritual life? Like, yeah. I don't want to be sentimental.
Right.
I hate myself when I'm sentimental, right? Because like everyone loses when I'm sentimental. Yeah. I don't get what I want, and I don't give what I should be giving when I'm sentimental, right? Mm-hmm. I really fail everybody. And spiritual life, do I evaluate myself and say, you know, how do I take steps as a dad to be spiritual and then to give spiritual life? Mm. How do I do that? Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we look at our lives and we say, what happened to us? Okay, I love thinking about this. What happened to me? Okay, what happens to anyone? How does Pastor Schaller evaluate his life? How did he become a godly man? Let's just use somebody else. The answers are often a little bit vague, you know, in one sense. There's real good answers, but also I always like to describe it as a tiny piece of me, a little tiny piece of me. And I find you can call it the will. You can say a choice was made. I agree with that. I agree that a choice was made, but even that word choice seems too much about me. You know what I mean? I don't even know how I made the choice. I don't even know what I did. And one way to describe it is I slightly turned my head towards God. That's the extent of my beginning. That's my genesis of spiritual life. I was totally lost in trouble in my heart, knew it, and raised in this church, and then slightly turned my head. And then ever since then, God has been pouring on me love and grace and wisdom and things like that. So I, we're not interested in, you know, works and well, you know, we like working hard, but we're not interested in works, and we just want God to be real in our lives. And how do you describe that? I don't know. You know, the fact that it is hidden, okay, which is a word that's often used, the hidden things of God, and then they are revealed to us, right? Deuteronomy 33 or anywhere else, you know, you can read this. You know, it really is like that. It was hidden to me, and then it was revealed to me. And I don't quite know how, to be honest, but I just know I turned to Jesus and said, help me. This kind of slight moment of humility, maybe, if you want to put it that way. Somehow, my life, I was in trouble, I turned to God, and then I just kept following Him. You know, I just kept following Him. So, to be a parent, yeah, you know, turn to Jesus, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of Moses, the burning bush.
Yeah.
It'd be like if there was a big explosion across the street right now, and we heard it, we would all look out there and everybody would see us look, right? They would see us respond to it.
Yeah.
And this is the initiation of God. It is an explosion.
Yeah.
It's like Pastor Schaller spoke about, I think Wednesday night, about on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you turn Moses. What's happening? It's not being consumed and it's on fire. Mm. You know, what's happening? And he turned and he looked. This is such a small action of man compared to the drawing power of God. And
then,
you know, we're talking about a father becoming spiritual and right. And that was the question. And then doing that the second, realizing it was good. And then doing it the second time. And that becomes a habit, you know, and you ask God, make a bang out there for me to look at. You know what I mean? I don't know. How else do you follow God? You got to make a bang in my life. Otherwise, I don't know how to follow you. And I say, dads, or maybe that's what I do now. You know, I walk into church. I say, you got to make a bang because otherwise I don't know how to turn my head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I mean, it is really all about him. You know, I mean, I every story worth telling always ends with Jesus, you know. Every other story doesn't matter. And it is really always Christ-centered, and he is really always the focus point. And if you want to be a good husband, follow Jesus. And if you want to be a good dad, follow Jesus. He changes. Nothing can change me. I've noticed I can't even change me. Nobody can change me. But he can. Jesus can. For some reason, you know, we are very stubborn and have no ability, really. I mean, some people lose weight, and some people, you know, gain muscle, and some people have some effect on their life. But Christ can change a heart, right? So his love, his grace, his image in front of me, and anything can happen. Anything can happen. And that's really the key to this, probably, this conversation, right? Your role is to be spiritual.
I got something on my heart I want to share as we're talking. Yeah. Can I talk about something?
Yes, then, you can.
Okay. I was just thinking of chastisement as we're talking about this, and your role as a spiritual father. And chastisement is discipline, right? We talked about boundaries before, and we talked about, you know, enforcing these boundaries. And a father gets to reveal his heart so deeply in chastisement, and he gets to show his love in chastisement, and he gets to show his favor towards a child. And if you don't give a child boundaries, and or if you do and you don't enforce them, they never get to know the father's heart. You send Adam and Eve, and we never, that was the end of the Bible. We would never know God's heart.
Wow.
Well, what did he do? Like, where are you? And he starts revealing, you know, he gave them coats of skins, right? Like, all of a sudden we start to see the redemptive process start to happen. And this is why, you know, it's like, and this is why, you know, it speaks about, you know, sparing the rod, you know, how you could spoil a child. It's not about the rod. It's about, you get to reveal the father's heart in discipline, in chastisement. And this is, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, where the father, the end product is a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Mm. And the son knows he's a son of the father. Mm. You know, he knows he's not a bastard, right? Mm-hmm. The son knows that he belongs to his father. The father had the opportunity to reveal his heart. And this is the redemptive process. And this is, you know, we're talking about, is a man greater than his wife? No, but there's an order, you know, of submission. It's all because God wants to show us himself. You know, he wants his character to be revealed. He wants there to be a transfer of his character all the way down. And this is the order of God. Mm-hmm. And he wants to redeem situations. And this is the father's heart towards people is to reveal to them his love in chastisement and correction.
Yeah, beautiful. I like that. That's great. It doesn't end. It didn't end with Adam and Eve, and it didn't end with the children of Israel.
Right.
It didn't end with Paul. It didn't end with anybody. It was just the beginning, right? And we know our God, you know, through his grace. So it's God's way. I had a little time this morning. I've been reading a book, and I had this little reading this morning on Psalm 78, and we're talking about what is the role of a father, and we just said, to be spiritual. And, you know, so I think sometimes we get accused of being vague, you know, and we just kind of never get specific and we never get practical.
Right.
And I actually think it's the other way around. You know, we could list a list of things that you should do as fathers. And I've read many of them and heard many of them. And I'm not saying they're wrong. You know, you can have like a list of, I remember once I read somebody read 14 things you should do as a father, and I'm okay with that. It's fine. But actually, if you really want to get down to it, you know, let's get down to the core issues, the big picture issues, and then everything else will fall into place. That's kind of how I view it. You can give me a list if you want. It's interesting. I'll look at it. But, you know, I don't know if that's what I start with, right? We want the big picture from God. Psalm 78, just a beautiful psalm. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth. I love that part. I am a dad. I have to open my mouth. If you don't open your mouth, if you don't pray, I didn't pray enough with my kids, right? I'm going to do it now. I don't know if it's too late, but I'm going to do it now. I don't know if they're interested, but I want to pray with my kids more. I had a beautiful moment 2 weeks ago. My son, we had a little moment at my work and behind the building, nobody saw us. We just kind of hugged with tears and prayed. You know what I mean? So everything is an opportunity for me to open my mouth and to reveal God's truth. So open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. I love the idea that this book was such a mystery to me and God's way was such a mystery to me, and now it's not. Not that I know everything, obviously not, but God is revealing things to us all the time. The mystery changes into knowable truth, right? So dark things of old, these are the things that the forefathers talked about, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and the strength of his wondrous works that he has done. For he establishes the testimonies of Jacob and appoints a law in Israel, for he has commanded our fathers that they should make them know to their children. So the word there, the number one word there, what is the job of a father? It is to transfer the wisdom of God. I was taught the wisdom of God by my mom, by pastors in my life. What is my job? What is my role? Transfer that wisdom. Anything that encompasses the wisdom of God, including grace, including love, including chastisement, including his will, including truth about certain areas. We talked about identity. We talked about homosexuality earlier in the week. All of that wisdom, it is my sole job as a dad, not anybody else's. I don't rely on anybody else for that job. That I'm going to own that job, and I want to teach my kids. And if they fail, great. It's going to be a teachable moment, teachable grace. And if they make mistakes, fine. And if they don't want to hear it, that's okay. I'll pray and try to get my way in there, you know. Rather than give you lists and details and, you know, condemn you with what you're doing wrong, you know, find out who God is, become spiritual, and transfer what you have been given, you know. So that's oversimplified maybe, but actually the core existence of being a father, you know.
You're coming back to the need to know God personally, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You say oversimplify, or we're too vague. We say the word spiritual.
Yeah.
But that's a great challenge for my heart, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To be a spiritual man.
Yeah.
And what other gift could I give myself and my children, and of course my wife, but to be spiritual? Mm-hmm. What other security could I give them versus, you know, let's overcome this with money. Is that as good as a gift? You know, let's overcome this with something new.
Yeah.
Let's overcome, you know, this with a vacation. Mm. You know, let's, you know, it's like, Dad, I want something real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I don't have anything to give you besides that.
That's it.
Yeah. But yeah. I want to, like, let's, that's our prayer, isn't it? And like, how did it start in the beginning? Mm. Give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ear. The psalmist is begging, like conversation with God, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And is that a reality? I think like, and you're not vague. I want a conversation with God, as a father.
Yeah,
and this is, you know, I. I saw this child in the inner city, 7 years old, be groomed by a drug dealer. Mm. Do you know what I mean? He didn't have a father.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a spiritual man. And this is why we have outreach. This is why you have youth ministry. I mean, you're there for many reasons, but we want to pick up these pieces in people's lives and give them this type of picture of our Heavenly Father, don't we?
Yeah.
We really do. It's like our plea on the streets this summer is to give a kid a picture of the Heavenly Father, not knowing Noah's Ark. I want him to know, and through Noah's Ark, I want him to know a picture of the Father's heart. That is practical. And if we see that that's not practical, and that is being oversimplified or we're too vague, that is not. That it can be our heart's desire to be a spiritual dad.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, that stuff never worked with me. Rules never worked with me. You know, even today, I'm like a grown man, and someone starts laying a lot of rules and limitations on me, I can just feel like my heart pulling away. You know what I mean?
Right.
God is getting to the core of things and teaching us. And Psalm 78 is saying, your fathers knew me and they knew my ways, and tell your kids, you know, about this so that they may know me, you know, in any scenario, whatever happens in the family, right? You got drama in the family. Every house has drama, right? Things happen, things go wrong, decisions have to be made, things have to be dealt with, right? All of it are nothing more than opportunities to reveal God's heart. Like, what does God think about this? How are we going to handle this? What do we say about this? You know, I remember a situation that happened in our family a couple of years ago, and it was, somebody wronged us, you know, one of those things, you know, somebody's really wrong. Someone's talking bad about you. They're lying about you, you know. I remember thinking, oh, this is great. I just think, this is great. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the wisdom. In the past, I would have been like, how dare he, you know, would have take up arms and defend myself and have a lot of meetings and, you know, stop him and whatever, you know, all these kind of ridiculous things. But I just remember having such peace about the whole thing because somehow God had revealed himself to me in the situation. And I just knew my job was to use this situation and say, doesn't really matter, does it? We stand before God, and the teachable moment to teach our kids to forgive and to be secure in Christ, and all the wisdom that scenario, that drama created, or actually all the drama we avoided. We had a meeting, we talked about it, here's what I'd like to do, here's how I'd like to proceed, here's how I'd like to view the situation, and it was over. It was like over, problem solved, you know what I mean? Like, how much drama do we avoid in our lives when we just listen to the wisdom of God and include him into our decisions? And, you know, when you're starting out, you know, following God, it's only the big things that you include God. You know, you're learning, okay, I got to go to God. One definition of maturity, there's many, but one definition is that you get better and better at including God at more and more of your decisions and more aspects of your life. The good parts, the bad parts, you're just getting better at pulling God into your life, you know, and showing your kids that. And telling your kids, well, what are we going to do here? What choice do we have? What do you feel God wants? You know, so much of my life, I did not ask that question. And I just like how we use these moments to pass on the wisdom, to transfer the wisdom to our children. That's all it is.
Yeah.
We don't even care about anything else. Well, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is painful, but it's awesome. You know, like a great moment for our kids.
That's a great example. You're transferring. Mm-hmm. You're the patriarch, right?
Yeah,
you were the patriarch. You are the patriarch of your family. Like Abraham is a patriarch of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
He's bushwhacking and discovering the nature of God, and that's what children need. That's what wives need. Mm. They need a patriarch, and you transferred something and you sought God and you got wisdom, and you not only got healed yourself, but you also transferred the nature of God to your family. I mean, that's what a father should be doing or can do, or that's his opportunity. And we say again, just think of education isn't going to solve, or it's not going to create depth in a person's, in a kid's life. Even marrying, the perfect person, the model, or the dude, isn't the solution. It's the it's the mind of God. This is what we are after.
Yeah.
In these situations, this is what gives us our riches. This is another, the thing not to do. We did when we were on the mission field, we told our kids, not through manipulation so they couldn't do something, but we told our kids when our finances were in the minus. Mm-hmm. They knew math in second grade, and we said, hey, we're in the minus, we're below zero. And we told them that. And we, they say, don't let your kids know your finances. We did. Because, we let them in on that. Yeah. And, we also got to show them, the grace of God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We got to show them the faithfulness of God. So you can be, when you're spiritual and you can introduce the mind of God, the things you're so transparent about, look what you... otherwise, I have to fix it, make it perfect. When it's perfect, I present it to my family when I fixed it. You didn't fix it. You got the mind of God and you gave the wisdom of God, and it's fixed on so many different areas. The mind of God it brings a blessing into the family. And that, a single mother, how do you become a father? You show your child the mind of God. How is a mother with a great husband showing her kids the right thing? She's becoming a head over her children, and she's showing them the mind of God in this situation. And mom and dad, don't be condemned if your child comes home with bad grades from this quarter, the end of the school year. Get the mind of God for the next situation. Where is it? Fall on your face. Ask God, demand of God, where is you? Because I'm going to transfer what I learned from God to that child in some way that they're never going to forget. So now we have an operation for our parenting, right? Transferring the mind of God.
I mean, I would take a single godly mom any day over two parents that are clueless, right?
Yeah.
Any day. A mom with God's mind... don't worry about it. It'll be okay. God will take care of it. God will compensate, I guess is the word. He'll fill in the blanks, and he'll provide, right? He would not leave us. He would not abandon us. So there's none of that. So yeah, that's beautiful. The mind of God is what we're after and what we want. Let me ask you a question. Now we're getting a little bit more specific, but I've been burdened because I don't see my kids, I'm sorry, our kids, not my kids, my kids are grown, but I don't see our kids in church, And, one of the roles I believe as a father is to show your kids how much the church, God's church, means to you, right? We want to have an attitude towards the church that God has called us to. And we want to love that church, and we want to participate in that church, and we want to have the call of God in our lives, right? One of the greatest blessings that happened in my life is that for when my kids were young, God called me to, God really called me to be a youth leader. And I just saw the impact that that made. You were a missionary, you went to Germany. That affected your kids, and it affected your kids in many ways. But one aspect is just the importance of the church in our life. I wanted to, if you had any comments on that.
Yeah. Parents, don't think that your child will become like who you want them to be spiritually by osmosis of having them sit in a church service.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to look at your child. And hey, you're supposed to sit there, be at attention. You should be taking notes. You're like, you know, you should be looking, you know, instead that, you know, they're maybe they're playing games or reading their own book or whatever they're doing. Parenting, it comes through investment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It comes from, you know, crawling up to their upper bunk and, you know, putting your arm around them and, you know, telling them, transferring to them, not a Bible story, maybe something you learned today from God. And, you know, like tell them a story, read them something from the Bible, pray with them, tell them something you've learned about God. When you're in the car coming down to church, why are we going to church tonight? Don't just, you know, like you have to inform them and teach them. Why are we doing this? And so parents, it's like there's 100 things you can do. I mean, we used to give our kids, I learned this from the Normans. We used to give our kids on Thursday morning, we used to give them like a special sweet roll because they went to church on Wednesday night. We made it a big thing, you know. But we want to teach them, why they are going and what to expect and what happens when you go. I remember my father took me to the bar and when I was a kid, and he showed me the rusty old pickups of the guys that went to the bar. He said, hey, look at all these pickups.
Wow.
You know, and he said, look at, they're all rusty and they're old. Wow. And he showed them to me. And then he took me out past other farmers' houses that weren't in the bar, and he showed me their nice new shiny pickups. I remember he showed me that. But it's just like it takes investment, it takes work, it takes discipline, and you know, it produces a product. And like again, I said in the beginning, don't abort the process because of condemnation. It's like start over again, get the mercies of God, dads, moms, and say like, let's do this. And we gave you really practical things about transferring this wisdom today to you. Like start over, say, I'm doing it in a small little way. I'm going to give them some wisdom. I'm going to sit them down at a mealtime. And I'm not going to pray, you know, give us our daily bread. I'm going to just say, God, I thank you. I thank you for my friendships. I thank you for marriage. I thank you for each one of my kids. And this food is a gift from you. Thank you for it. God, give them something real from your heart that you are thankful for.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, let's see. Maybe we can close with this. The reality is, you know, we just read Psalm 78, but we've also read Hebrews chapter 3 and many other places. We know that the fathers, apparently, the children of Israel did not do a good job, because they left God, right? I mean, Jude, all these wonderful chapters that we love really describe that within one generation, you know, Israel was in trouble, you know. And, of course, we know that it's, individual choice also, but there's a real question that they did a good job transferring the wisdom of God, the heritage, you know, did they really pass it along? David, I think, may not have been such a great dad, you know. He has troubled kids. And there's one verse, that I have written down, actually, that talks about David not disciplining his son. There's plenty of evidence. I wrote a little list of David's kids and everything they got into. And, you know, did he not correct his kid? Did he not showed them truth and wisdom, you know, everything that is incorporated with that, both the chastisement, the discipline, but also the love and the grace, you know? Maybe not. Maybe he didn't fell short on that. Who knows? We're just saying that it's possible to get it wrong. I think that's really the point. Maybe we can close with the reality that we have to fight. We know that, you know, we have to purposely transfer God's wisdom and God's heart to our kids, and we have to do it a lot, and there's no end to it, and it's the primary thing. And God's plan for education, God's plan for Christian education is dad. That's in the Bible. That's all that we have to know. So we're going to get busy. We're going to know what we have, and we're going to try to transfer it to our kids. Any last comments you want to say?
I guess on the other side, what if your kids are perfect? it's a gift from God. Never get puffed up, and you're going to need God. Yeah. Your kids are perfect, but you know, they're the best students or the best, you know, whatever. It's like it's a gift from God. Keep learning how to parent. Mm. Fall on your face and ask God how to parent, because you're going to need it at some time. Yeah. So, that's
and your daughter is best friends with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I've always been happy about that. And I'm excited for them. I see them slowly growing and, participating and being involved. And I just think the future heart of our kids is going to be Christ. You know, it is already, but they're going to grow. I really believe that, which is awesome. All right. So this was the Grace Hour, a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Feel free to join us anytime for our services on Sundays. We have a 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and a 6:30 service. And then we have Wednesday night, 7 o'clock service, where we will learn the heart of God and get ready to pass on that information to our kids. Thank you for joining us today. We didn't get to all of your comments, but we do thank you for joining us today.
Tiffany, come to the convention. Tiffany
Brown.
Wow, miss you.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Kentucky Truck Paint. Is that what it says? Oh, plant.
Plant.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. God bless you.